the most powerful trait that all people have is our rutzen, our willpower. The idea is, and it's an idiom that's used quite all over, that when there's a will, there's a way. It's used all over the place, that concept that's there. We find that people have done the most amazing things when they really want to do them, when they push themselves past their limits. It's not the norm, it's an extreme that comes in when a person wants to do something that's a little bit past their normal boundaries. Maybe some of you know this, maybe some of you don't. I just realized this, and somebody had told me not too long ago. Some of the greatest catches in NFL history have happened during the Super Bowl. Not just during the regular season. Some of the greatest catches that have ever taken place. There's three specific ones that they quote as like the three greatest catches of all time. One supposedly just happened in this past Super Bowl, but they all take place in the Super Bowl itself. That's not a coincidence. That's when everything is revved up, when you're throwing yourself out there, then yeah, people put themselves past what they'd normally be able to do. There's a player that I just heard played in the Super Bowl without a broken arm or a hyperextended elbow. I don't know what it was exactly. You can't move the elbow the normal way with that. But he played. He played together with it. If you think about it, if you go through, it's really in all sports that applies. The famous Kirk Gibson home run, if anybody knows anything about the 80s baseball, right, where Kirk Gibson, I think he had a broken leg. I don't remember what it was. He had something that was totally wrong. He had a broken fibula or something that was completely broken. He couldn't run the bases. But he got up there to pinch it, I don't know, the bottom of the ninth and whatever it was, and he hit a home run to win the game. He couldn't even move his leg. You can see in like the old movies, the old shows, you can see him like hobbling around the bases as he's getting through until he gets to home plate. He couldn't move his leg. It was totally broken. But he sat there, and when a person has that rutzen, when it's there, when his will is so strong, he's able to overcome anything. He's able to do anything, absolutely anything. You all know, I mean, we're all in Chicago, so the Michael Jordan flu game, where he played throwing up on the bench in between timeouts, and with the flu, he scored 63 points. He was unstoppable, they say. I think it was 8 threes or 7 threes in the game, where it wasn't a normal game where Michael Jordan was playing. But you have to understand, it goes the other way as well. At the same time, when you have the guys that are making a name for themselves and making it at that time, the rutzen is truly there. You see, there are some people that just don't have that rutzen. It's not as strong. I'm not blaming it. I'm not putting anything on this. But a Bostoner will always tell you about Bill Buckner's ground ball straight through the legs. Or Leon Durham, if you're a Cubs fan, from 1984, will always tell you about the ground ball through his legs. A slow little dribbler that went right through his legs. One after the other. It was 83-84, I believe, where the Red Sox were in 83 and the Cubs were in 84. They'll tell you, like, these are games where the rutzen just wasn't there. It just wasn't really, if they put all the rutzen in there, they would have done anything they can, and some people just didn't have that type of rutzen, that type of willpower. Let's go ahead. So now let's take it out of the Wahhabi and put it into our world and try to see where it goes by us. See, by us, we have rough. We want to do things. The only problem is we just don't. We just don't. We know what we want to do. We know what we want to accomplish. But our willpower is just up to a certain point. So how do we utilize our rutzen? How do we utilize our willpower to the fullest extent that we can literally change ourselves and make ourselves into that guy making the greatest catch in the Super Bowl? How can we do that? How is it possible for us to do that? So Rivoldi and Ali Shur, Parak Kafe of Shar Shani, says the following. He says, there's no question that we have the power within us. But there's more to it than just that. It's not just human intervention that's necessary here. The human intervention that's necessary is only to a point where you get siyata dishmaya. You have to do something, you have to want something, you have to put your power toward it. But it means absolutely nothing unless you get siyata dishmaya to help you out. Some form of help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to put in things for you. He says, the line is both in Makos Yudim Abayz, B'derech Adam Rotze Lelech Molichen Osav. If you want to go in a certain path, whether for good or bad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you along the way and set up certain things, Siyata Nishmaya, certain siyuas, to be able to help you go on that path, whether for good or for bad. Ein lecha davar only bifnei ha'ratzon, says the Gemara. There's nothing that can stand in front of your own willpower. If you're willing to be able to push yourself and do it, it's going to be there. Now, let's explain a little bit further. This is not a ratzon of where I wake up in the morning and I say, you know what, I want to have pancakes this morning. That's not a ratzon that we're talking about over here. That is just a whim, a little bit of a desire that comes into your head once in a while. There's no ratzon that deals with eating pancakes on one morning. That's not a ratzon. That's just, again, I wake up in the morning, I have a desire for something, so I go ahead and I do something. That's not enough. There's no ratzon of, I want to finish the Aliyah for Shnei Mikraveh HaTargum. That's not a ratzon. That might be something that you want to do, and a little tiny thing within. But it's not your ratzon. That's not your willpower. That's not your real, what you really, really want. After all, if you want pizza, you'll get pizza, right? You'll go and get it. What I mean by ratzon is that turning, looking at yourself, and saying to yourself, what is it that I want for my life? What is it that I want out of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give me? What is it? And what can I do in order to accomplish that? And sometimes that gets lost in the fray of everything else that you're doing. But there are details, and then there are klalim, there are general rules behind them. And what we're looking at is a general rule. What is the general rule ratzon that a person wants? If a person wants to be famous, that's a ratzon. And that there are means to the end of becoming famous. If a person wants to be an Oved Hashem, well, that's the cloud. That's ratzon. And now you have means to that end to be able to come to that point. And the truth is that if you really, really want it, you won't rest. You'll sacrifice everything you have to come to the point where you're going to get whatever it is that you feel your life is all about. There are people who have given up all their family life, really their health, and pretty much everything they've had for money. And they're willing to do anything for it. Because at the end of the day, their ratzon is they want to be rich. And they're willing to do anything. To literally give up everything they have just for that one goal. And that's a waste. That's a waste. There are people who are willing to do anything for fame. They will do absolutely anything to get their name out there or their face out there. They're willing to do anything, to sacrifice anything they have, their dignity, anything that they want in order to become famous. I've always wondered, and I don't know, maybe they don't have these things anymore. I'm sure they do. But that person in the TV show or the movie who's playing the ugly, weird guy, who went out for that role? Who took that? He's the guy who everyone's making fun of because that person is the weird guy. The weird one who everybody's making fun of. But there was some guy whose ratzon was, I want to be a movie star. And when people told him, you're not good looking enough to be a movie star, he said, I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to make sure it happens. I will be a movie star. And he pushes and pushes and pushes until finally he gets the role of the ugly guy in the movie. And he gets it. See, if that's your ratzon, you're willing to do it. You're willing to sacrifice everything you have. You want everyone to laugh at you. To laugh at you, at you, not with you. To laugh at you. And say, that guy, that's such a weird looking guy. But there are people that are there. I can never understand it. I thought at first maybe they were fooled into being in it. And then eventually they signed off on the bottom line. But no, there are people who go for those parts. They go for those parts. Why would you go for that part? Why would you do that? I can't understand it. I can't. But there are certain people who have that ratzon. If the ratzon is they're going to be this, this is what they want out of life. They are going to show everyone, I will be a movie star. They sacrifice everything they have. I've given the example before of myself playing basketball. I want to go a little bit deeper into that example. If you don't remember, it's the following. After my 8th grade, I was never a good basketball player. I loved baseball. I loved football. I couldn't play basketball at all. My dad was not a basketball player. He never taught me how to play. And I couldn't shoot. I couldn't dribble. I couldn't rebound. Like, I was all awkward everywhere. And plus, it was going through this 8th grade. So you're in an awkward stage anyway, right? Where everything's growing in the wrong place. So you're just, like, sitting there and your arm is, like, 6 times longer than one arm. And everything's a little bit off. So what did I do? So the whole summer, I practiced. Wherever I was, I had a basketball with me. So when I was working at camp, so before the camp started, I was shooting baskets. After camp was over, I was shooting baskets. I was dribbling a ball wherever I went. I would go down that park, down McCormick, back and forth, dribbling from one place to the other. And in the end, okay, wasn't as good as I wanted to be at the end of the day. I only had 2 months, right? But I kept working, until finally it ended up being, okay, I was able to get there. You have to understand, my rough zone was not that I wanted to be a basketball player. That wasn't the rough zone. If the rough zone was there, then I would have done nothing else except play basketball, pulled out something like that. That's not my rough zone. What was my rough zone behind it? What was my goal behind doing such a thing? My goal was that I wanted to be more accepted. And I assumed that my friends would like me more, I'd be a more accepted person, if I was better at this game of basketball than I was already. My means was through basketball. But my overall rut zone was to be more accepted, more popular, to become better with my peers. That was the idea behind it. And because my rut zone was that, this was the means to an end, I wasn't willing to sacrifice everything to do it. This was just one way of doing such a thing. On the other hand, there are other people whose rut zone have become so tremendous in other things, and they're literal, their job is, they just want to play basketball. So those guys are the 24/7 basketball players who do nothing else except do that, and they try to bring that on. So, let's say you have a person asking an agent. A person is asking you an agent. He's saying to you the following. He's saying, what can I do to daven better? What can I do to get to davening more on time? What can I do to make sure that I'm there, right, during the Kaddishes, right after Brachos? What can I do to that? The person's asking that question. Or the person asks the question and says, what can I do to be better at Seder? To concentrate more? To be able to make sure that I'm at Seder on time? To make sure that the learning that I'm doing during Seder will stay in my head? And I'll have it after lunch is over. What can I do to make sure that that's going to happen? So you need a person who has to make a decision for himself and really make this decision not just about one little thing. What am I going to do during Seder? Or what am I going to do during davening? That's not it. You have to have a person who's really going to look deep down in himself and say, what kind of a person do I want to be? Granted, there will be mistakes, and I understand that, of course, you're going to have a day or two or whatever it is where it's there. But if you're overall a person who is always there, always working, if your rut zone is able to get you to the point where you're always going to try harder and harder and harder, and once in a while there's a lapse or a relapse, that's okay. As opposed to a guy who, he's basically not there at all. And once in a while, he's able to come. It's just it's dependent on your rut zone. What do you want? And I can show you people who you probably know, who turned it around for themselves, who did it themselves, who couldn't come, and then turned it and said to themselves, I'm coming, I'm going to do it. It doesn't make a difference to me how I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And it has nothing to do with alarm clocks, it has nothing to do with your phone, where your phone is, it has to do with you. If you want it, you will do it. There's no question. There's no question of, I live so far away, so I can't make it to Seder on time. There is a way to get to Seder on time. You just have to wake up earlier. If you really want to, you'll do it. If a person really wants, I remember telling this to my wife, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I have to start waking up now a lot earlier on Shabbos morning in order to get to the minyan that I'm davening at. What am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to wake up in time. You know what happened? I've woken up on time. Because I said to myself, I want it to forget about the individual I want to be there. It's that, what kind of a person do I want to be? Do I want to be the kind of person who complains that I just didn't wake up because my phone didn't go off? Is that the kind of guy that I am? Am I the type of guy who's saying I'm blaming it on my alarm clock? Do I honestly think that's the type of person I am? A person who just, overall, I would make it if my alarm clock worked. But I'm not making it because my alarm clock didn't work. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? No, you're a person who doesn't really want to go. So therefore, because of that, you didn't want to wake up. Be the person who's not like that. Be the person who doesn't blame it on an alarm clock. It's an individual. One time you might mess up. It's, I will wake up at blank. 7:15, 7 o'clock, 6:45, whatever it is, I will make sure that I am up at that time. I will make sure that I am at Seder on time. I'll make sure that I'm at Mincha on time. I'll make sure that I'm at Night Seder on time. I'll make sure I'm at Marid on time. I will make sure that I'm there. If your Ratzon is that, then everything else comes second. Everything else comes second. Even though you're in the middle of something and you're so busy and you have tons of other things to do, or you're tired, or you're on the phone, or anything, you have to get off, because your number one priority is you got to make it to Seder on time, because that's the type of person that you are. That's all it is. I know I'm making it sound so easy, and I know Lemaisa, that's not exactly the easiest thing in the world. But your mindset has to change. It has to become priority one, priority two, priority three, and make the decision of what is what. Where are my priorities when it comes to davening, Seder, when it comes to my learning? And when it is, everything comes with it. You'll find that if you make your number one priority getting to Seder on time, you will find that your learning during Seder is so much easier. You'll find that you're not battling as much with your chavrusa. But if you're treating it as, well, I have to be there because, again, I don't want someone to kill me. I don't want my Rebbe to kill me. I don't want somebody to be mad at me. I don't want my chavrusa to be upset at me. Then you're right. Of course you're not into it. Of course you're going to come 10 minutes late, because who's going to complain about 10 minutes late? Nobody will say anything, right? It's not like you're going to give me an F for coming 10 minutes late. Right? That's not going to happen. And probably the mashgiach won't even notice if he's 10 minutes late. What difference does it make? If he's 10 minutes late, nobody will say anything whatsoever. But it's not about the 10 minutes. It has nothing to do with the 10 minutes. It's that your overall goals are so far out of whack that you don't know why it's wrong to be 10 minutes late. That's what's so bad. You have no clue. Why is that bad for you? What's the issue? You just don't know. So you blame it on something else. No, you don't understand. Something happened this morning. It's not about this morning. It's not about this morning. It's the overall attitude, the overall problem, the overall issue. Where is it in your head? Is it a priority or not? I challenged my son. I challenged him. I went up to him and I said, and my son is not the most into it when it comes to learning. My oldest son is not the most into it. He doesn't love it as much as I probably want him to, or he really wants to. So I challenged him. I said, you're a smart kid. You don't study for anything, for any test. I have no idea. I see his grades, so I know what he gets. It's not like that's an issue at all. But I never see him studying. I never see him doing homework. Nothing. Except for learning. When I tell him, come, we're sitting down, we're learning, which I do every night with him, that's it. He would never do anything on his own. He has a Gemara test tomorrow. He is not studying. That is absolutely not happening. There's no way. And he'll get his A. He'll be fine. But he won't get the A+. He won't get the 100. He won't get the 110 with extra credit. He'll get a 94. And he's fine. It's a 94. What difference does it make? So I challenged him. And I challenged him and I said, okay, there's a program called the Dibarta Bum. I don't know if anybody here has heard of it, but it's a Mishnayos program for kids. They have to learn the Mishnayos on their own, right? They have to do everything on their own, and then they take tests. The tests are not easy. I've seen the questions. They're not easy. You have to really know the Mishnayos backward and forward. It's the type of question of how many times does Rabbi Akiva argue with the Chachamim in these three programs of Mishnayos. Those are the types of questions. They're not easy. They're really not easy. And it's multiple choice, but it's multiple choice in the way they want to trick you. I don't know what evil sadistic person is writing up these tests, honestly. It's for 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds. But nonetheless, these are the tests, okay? It's like, they go through and it's just like, it reminds me of, like, you know the famous Gra, where a guy came up to the Gra and he said that I want to take a Bechina on Sukkah, on the Septa Sukkah. And the Gra said to him, he's like, how many times is the word Rebbe Yehuda appear in the Mishnayos? How many kosher Sukkahs are there in all the Mishnayos? How many not kosher sukkahs out there. It's like sadistic. You don't do that. I'm not going to do that. Like, there's no way to know it. That's really what these tests are. That's really what it is. But nonetheless, I challenged him. I said, okay, I know you want to be challenged. I know you want to have to study. I'm putting this on you. I will test you. I will test you. I'll test you every night. Right? And I'll get you down. And you have 5 weeks to do the Mishnayos, 5 weeks to do the Prakim. I'm going to make you do the Mishnayos on your own. And then I'm going to test you afterward. And I want to see, what can you do? Can you get yourself past? The first test he took, he wasn't sure what they were looking for, and whatever it was, he didn't do so well. The second test, it's classic, my son, if you know my son at all, it's classic, he thought it was a different two prakim, he studied the wrong prakim. So he did well enough, I'm telling you, even though he never did the prakim of Mishnayos, he did well enough to be able to take the third test. It goes up, you can only get a total of 15 questions wrong, and 25 questions per test, and 4 tests. So you can only do that, but he's fine now. But this time, it was a real challenge. He only had an ability to get, if he got 5 wrong, he'd be out completely. That's it. If you got five wrong, he was gone. So I challenged him. I said, I don't want you to get any wrong. I don't want you to get any wrong. Work on it. Work on it. So he was challenged. His Ruxin got pulled in there. And here's what the Ruxin is. The Ruxin is not, I want to learn Torah. That wasn't the Ruxin here. Okay? It wasn't even, I want to get an 100 on the test. That wasn't what his Ruxin was. His Ruxin was, I want to make my father proud of me. That's all it was. That was the Ruxin there. I want my father to be proud of me. That's all it was. And when he had that as his Ruxin, that got thrown in. Then the test was the means to the end, right? He took the test. He did well. He got one wrong. Okay, he didn't get a total 100. That's fine. I had no problem with that. I still bought him a prize. That's perfectly fine. But I challenged him. Do you see what it is? It wasn't about the test. It was about the test. He probably wouldn't have cared. He would have gone ahead, gone through. Maybe he would have gotten some wrong. Maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know. I don't know what would have been. But the point was, when you have something that you really want, Daddy, I want you to be proud of me, then he's going to do anything he can to make sure that happens. And just because he messed up once, that's not the issue. You can mess up once. That's okay. I think it's perfect. If you would have gotten the perfect score, then I would have said, like, that's ridiculous. That's not even an example that you can give. The example is, you can mess up once. It's okay. That does happen. But the biggest problem is that most people have no idea what they want. You just don't. We all don't. We don't have that full recognition of where it is. If we all had true Ruxin, it would be, I want to do what God wants me to do every second of every day. That is the ultimate Ruxin, the Ruxin Hashem. That is the greatest level that a person can be on. Okay, we're not there yet. We don't have that pure emunah bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world the entire time, 100%. And maybe you do, but taiva gets in the way. Maybe you do have that Ruxin, but taiva is still there and it's difficult to be able to put that down. Nonetheless, your Ruxin should be that you want to be successful. Your Ruxin should be that you want to be successful in both Gashmias and Ruchnias. There is a method to getting there, to becoming successful in your own mind, not in other people's minds, because they don't care, they don't matter. It's what would make you successful in your own mind, in Gashmias and Ruchnias. And start while you're in yeshiva, it's still Ruchnias. Even if there's a college involved and there's Gashmias involved as well. Think about that. Where do I want to be? What do I want to be for my children? What do I want to be in life? What kind of a person do I want to be? In shul, with my wife, with my kids? That Ruxin is there. And yes, there are taivas, and yes, there are other things that will take it down. And yes, you're going to have lapses and judgment in issues that will come up. There's no question. But overall, what is my Ruxin? What is it? What is my willpower trying to push me to? What is my absolute number one priority? If that is your number one priority, I am going to give everyone here a means to an end, at least until the end of this month. We have 3 weeks and a little bit until Purim. We have about 6 weeks until Pesach vacation. I'm suggesting, and I'm doing this because I know not everyone is going to take me up on this, but I'm suggesting, Megillas Esther is unbelievable. And I don't know if you've ever done Pirushim on Megillas Esther, like the Gra or the Midrashim, Targum Shani, maybe even just the simple ones, like maybe the Isha Tanakh, and to look at it in English and to see the Midrashim and Esther and Haman and Mordecai. The Megillah, the Gemara, Megillah itself, just the Agadah Sedekah. Why not start a Seder for yourself outside of the normal Seder times to go over Megillah Esther so well that by the time Purim rolls around, you have 10 pages of notes just on Megillah Esther. It's an extracurricular activity. This is not anything you're being tested on. Nothing to do with anything else. The only point of it is to help you become a better person. That's it. If your overall goal is, I want to make myself a better person, why not add that on when you do that? If not Megillas Esther, you feel it's too close, I'm not in the mood, when am I going to say them over, I probably won't be sober at that time, fine. How about Pesach? Haggadah's coming up. Why not write down Pirushim now? There are tons of Pirushim on the Gada. I guarantee you can find 150 Agadas up there in the library. At least 150 Agadas up there. Let alone all the Meforshei Chumash who all have stuff down on Pesach, the Agada, etc. If you have, start looking up Divrei Torah, different parts of the Seder. Get yourself used to it. Have it down. Not for anyone else. This is no shaitas to anyone else. You don't want to say anything at the Seder? I'm fine with you not saying anything at the Seder. It's not about somebody else hearing you or making you feel better because you're saying it out at the Seder. For you, 10 pages, 15 pages, I would say until Pesach, 15 pages of notes on the Haggadah. 15 pages. And then you start highlighting the ones that you'd want to say if you were saying them out at the Seder. The ones that are the best ones for you. You find them. You write them down. You put them down in index cards, note cards, something. To have it for you. To make a goal. That's a goal that you can get. And you can finish X by year, Y by there. If you're in a mood for something even more, then of course, finish a Masechta. You have a month and a half until we finish the Zman. You can finish a Masechta. I guarantee that. Everyone here has the ability to do so. Even if you're going to need art school for most of the time. Everyone here can do that. Outside of Seder, not in Seder. Outside of Seder, you can do this. If your Ratzon is you want to become a better person, this is a goal, a means to get to your eventual end goal. Just making yourself better and doing something more. And I'm telling you, I know none of you know this name. Aryeh Markowitz. My first year, he was a boy who did absolutely nothing in Shir, did not show up whatsoever. You might know a guy like this, but did not show up at all for months at a time. He was with me in Rabbi Hartman's shir and bais, and about a month before Purim, Tu Bishvat, around that time, he got into it and he said, you know what? I want to start looking up stuff on Megillas Esther. This guy, I'm telling you, all day, he didn't go to shir. I don't know how he got permission, but he didn't go to shir. He spent the entire day learning up stuff on Megillas Esther. He had 175 pages of notes just on Megillas Esther. He started giving shir on Megillas Esther on Thursday night after the Chumash shir that was given by somebody at the time. If he told me, he gave it at 12 o'clock until 1 o'clock in the morning. This is a 17-year-old guy. 17-year-old guy was not motivated at all. Start pulling through. I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody that knows so much Megillas Esther. And I'm looking at my notes. I have about 10 pages of notes of Megillas Esther just from his shirim. Just from what he was saying out loud. It doesn't take that much. You just have to have that ratzon. And you have to have some type of a plan. Use this. Whether it's Megillas Esther, Pesach Haggadah, or something else. It could be anything else. You can make shirim out of it. You can give over to the high school. I guarantee you the high school kids will love it. Absolutely love it. You give it over to some people and you tell them, just a couple of two or three guys, and they tell it over, they're going to love it. You just have to do it. And if you do it, I'm telling you, you will be so impressed with yourself. You won't realize. And that takes you to the next level. That'll help you to the next level. Let's try. Let's see if you can do this. I'm challenging you. Let's see if you can do it.